May only your word be spoken, O Lord. May only your word be heard. Amen. Please be seated. So imagine you're in the desert with a few hundred thousand of your closest friends. You get to spend most of your day not hunting, not growing crops, because you don't really have to do much work at all. You're not worried about what you're going to eat each day because food falls from heaven and lands on the ground like dew. You've worked at some housing and some shelter, but otherwise, if you want to spend your day playing the lute or the harp and singing and dancing, you pretty much get to because God has taken care of all of your needs. And then you start to cry. We don't like this food. We're going to die. That's what was going on with the people of Israel in our reading from Numbers today. We don't like this food that you give us every day, God. We're going to die. I think of children on a long car ride, kind of hungry, pretty bored, rather uncomfortable. They probably didn't actually think or don't actually think that they're about to die of hunger and boredom and thirst. If they were to think long and hard enough about how they're actually doing, the kids might admit that they're really just uncomfortable. Listening to the anguished cries of those moderately hungry, bored, and uncomfortable children, however, it sounds like they are indeed of the last throes of starvation and death. To be fair to the overly dramatic children, I've heard plenty of adults make similar anguished cries of, this is terrible, we're all going to die, when we're really just uncomfortable or not overly happy with how things are. So back to the people of Israel. How did they go from being uncomfortable and bored to, we don't like this food, we're all going to die? Well, it has to do with the way our brains work. There's the thinking part of our brain, or front part of our brain, which realizes, you know, I guess I'm not really about to die. I just need a snack. I'm good. Then there's the lower part of our brain, lizard brain, which has your basic fight or flight function. Lizard brain sees a threat or a perceived threat, and it starts getting a little more anxious, getting a little more agitated. Lizard brain doesn't know that the hunger we feel isn't actually life-threatening. Lizard brain just knows hunger bad. And so as we go, if lizard brain starts to get really scared, it initiates lockdown. And we're in the fight or flight response to the real or perceived threat. The thinking part of our brains actually shut down, and we begin acting and making decisions based on this lowest part of our brain, which simply says, there's a threat, eliminate it, or run. And we see this all the time with road rage, or screaming at the cashier, or screaming with family members, shouting at each other when people say something in the heat of an argument that they instantly regret and didn't mean, or when they're, okay, there's some of that going on, when they're in an argument, they start making these really stupid arguments that they later realize they don't even believe. That's when lizard brain has taken over. That's the condition of our brains. We really don't like being uncomfortable. We're not overly fond of anxiety, and we absolutely hate uncertainty. So our brains want resolution quickly, so the world makes sense and we feel safe. When situations or things register in our brains as uncomfortable or possibly threatening, lizard brain starts to raise its little lizard head. And for children uncomfortable in the car on a long drive, that lack of comfort brings lizard brain to the fore for the fight response, and you get the anguished cries of children who have just had a snack and are yet starving to death. So we have the situation in Numbers. in which the people of Israel were railing against God for bringing them out of Egypt into the desert just to die of hunger. They were in the desert, they were nomadic, and they were really tired of the miserable food which God kept giving them every day, which we are also told, by the way, tasted awesome. The people of Israel were dying of hunger because they were tired of the food. Israel was not actually afraid of dying. Even though they claimed they were, Israel was on a long car ride, uncomfortable, anxious, full of uncertainty about the future, three things which lizard brain hates. So as a response, God sent serpents among the people, which seems a bit much. Certainly not something I would recommend to parents on the car ride. It doesn't work well, I've found. So what if, other than God being angry and wanting to hurt the people who had slandered him with lies about his mistreatment of them, being near the point of death, what might else have been going on with the serpent attack? Well, I had the idea. What if the serpents were a little less actually poisoning the people and killing the people, and a little more poisoning the people's minds, like the serpent did in Eden? With that idea in mind, I checked with my favorite rabbi and one of the coolest people I know, Annie Belford, and she pointed to a commentary by 11th century rabbi named Rashi, who wrote this about the passage from Numbers. God said, as it were, "Let the serpent, which was punished for slanderous statements, come and exact punishment from those who utter slander. Let the serpent, to which all kinds of food have one taste, that of the dust, come and exact punishment from these ingrates, to whom the one thing, the manna, had the taste of many different dainties." Food tasted great. They were just being whiners. Like the serpent in Eden, who lied about God, the people of Israel were in the wilderness telling lies about God, that he was killing them, making them starve to death. In fact, God had cared for them and sheltered them and kept them safe and well fed, but lizard brain was taking over in the people, and so they made their anguished cry of, "We're going to die." So then whether God sent serpents which actually killed them with literal venom, or if the serpents were killing them with lies and deceit, God had Moses set up a bronze serpent for the people who were bitten to look upon and be healed. Now this was not Medusa in reverse. This thing was not magic. It wasn't as though you just happened to have it glance across your field of vision and suddenly you were all better. It wasn't an idol or a god to bring healing. The bronze serpent worked as people looked upon it and realized, that's what I've become. I've become like a serpent, like the father of lies, trusting my own anxiety, trusting in lizard brain rather than trusting his God, who has freed us and kept us safe. They would look upon the bronze serpent with true repentance, let lizard brain quiet down for a few moments, and the serpent would kill the lizard. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so was the Son of Man lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Part of why Jesus was lifted up on the cross is to help us silence lizard brain when it rears its little lizard head. And then help us to return to trusting in God, to having peace in our hearts, rather than becoming like the serpent ourselves, rather than becoming the father of lies, trusting in the darkness of our anxieties and fears. We look to Jesus and we believe again that we are children of light. of course, like the serpent which Moses raised, looking to Jesus isn't a magic trick. It's more than just a passing thought whenever we're angry or upset of thinking, yeah, Jesus, okay. Looking to Jesus is a practice, a habit that transforms our whole way of life. We believe that in Jesus, God has become one with us, one with every aspect of our lives, including our sins, so that no matter what, we are one with God. We believe that this life is not the end, but that even after our bodies die, we continue on alive in union with God and one another. We let this belief change our lives, change how we live, how we approach life, change how we approach adversity, times when we are uncomfortable and anxious and uncertain. We develop habits and practices of prayer and meditation, of scripture reading, of silence, of breathing, of daily turning our lives and our wills over to God. Looking to Jesus in all we do, meditating on the light and life of Jesus, trusting in our unending union with God. We practice these habits over and over and over, trusting in God with our lives and our deaths. Then, when lizard brain takes over, because lizard brain will still take over sometimes, we use these well-established practices to call us back from the lies of the lizard, the lies of the serpent. We find peace to trust in Jesus once again, to trust that we are God's, and no matter what, we are one with God in this life and in the life to come.